So if seeds have to be cultivated, that means that you're going to be put into an environment where they're going to be cultivated. And a lot of times your fruit is born out of suffering and it's born out of affliction. That's why the Bible talks about in Romans chapter 5, not only so, but we rejoice in our suffering because suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. It produces. And so if you are in this world right now, there is some degree of suffering that you are in, some degree. May not be physically, but it can be emotionally. It can be financially. That God is doing something in your life so that you can produce fruit. That's what he's after. It's fruit. It's not just fruit. It's fruit that remains. It remains. What does it do God any good if you produce fruit in one season, but that fruit doesn't last when the next season comes? It's only temporary. And that's why you see a lot of people jumping in and out of church, jumping in and out of God. Because they didn't learn the lesson in the last season because it became all about hype. And when something becomes all about hype, there's no substance to it. So if you're following Jesus for hype, you're following the wrong one. I'm all about getting excited about Jesus. I'm all about having a great time. But when push comes to shove, it's about following him. It's about denying yourself, taking up your cross, and following him into the unknown, into the places that he wants you to go. And so not where everyone's showing, but where everyone's not going. I want you to think about Jesus' day. There were crowds, but there were no sound. And he went from town to town doing what his father told him to do. The Bible said that foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man had nowhere to lay his head. So he was on mission. And so he knew what God called him to do. And we can get caught up into this fanaticism when it comes to following Jesus, where it becomes all about being recognized. We're a follower of Jesus. There's no substance. And if you were to go over and push that person, or if you were to go over and press that person on their faith, they would crumble because there's no foundation. It's there, but it's weak. And that's where it's really tested. Your fruit is tested under pressure. It's not tested when everything is well. When you're winning, it's nice to win. But when you have to go back to the drawing board and when you have to allow God to continue to cultivate that fruit, it takes work to do that. It takes work. Sustained success is not easy. It requires retooling. And some would say reinventing yourself and becoming a new version of yourself. I call it just being born again repeatedly. Because it's possible for there to be another version of you that the world has not seen. Why? Because you are in process, in that process called sanctification, and you are being born again repeatedly. It's not just one time. Ever notice that when you're in one season and you feel like, man, I just get out of that season, now I'm in another one, I feel like he's churning some more stuff up? Yeah. Because he knows what to do to cultivate, to get the fruit. That's what he's after. I want the fruit, man. I don't want you to bail on me when another pandemic hits. I don't want you to bail on me when it gets hard. I'm looking for people who are going to stick with me. Stick with me. That's what I'm looking for. Do you have the stuff to stick with me? Stick-to-itiveness. That means not only in your relationship with Christ, in your marriage, 20 years almost, stick-to-itiveness. Can you stick? What does it matter if you make it halfway, but you don't make it all the way? Well, I did good for half my life, But the other half got too hard, so I had to bail out, of course, because I didn't like what I saw, and it just got too difficult, and I was looking for the easy way out. And God said, man, if you would have just kept going. But that's the problem, because people mistake this place for their residency. Well, I'm making up my house here, making up my residency here. Why? Because in the end, you're not staying here. You're going somewhere else. And so God's getting you ready to spend eternity with him. That's why to him, stuff like that, he takes care of it. But that's not of prime importance to him. So if you don't know where you're going, you prioritize what doesn't really matter. Doesn't matter. I should have friends like that. Really? I should have that because I deserve it. And well-being. God does promote you, and God does give you things as a result of you earning, yes, and success, yes, absolutely, he blesses. But in the end, it's all his. And your residency is not here. And so today, as we wrap up this series called Greater, we're talking about greater love. Greater love. And we know that there was no greater act of love than Jesus dying upon the cross. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, but God demonstrates his love in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While you were still stuck in your mess, he died for you. That's why when the enemy comes in and speaks lies about your worth, you have to recognize the lie. Because before you even recognize who Jesus was, he knew you. While you were still messed up, he died for you. That's what love is. Hey, you don't know me? I know you. Because you remember what he said? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It was prophesied he would, but his heart was, Lord, don't hold it against him. I want you to think for a moment about the stuff that you have done that God could have turned his back on you, but he didn't. I'm not just talking about the sin of commission, but the sin of omission also. Things I should have did, but I didn't. But then the things I did do that I did in God's face, just because. And God still had his arms open and said, I still love you. Now, one time has God abandoned you or left you? Yes, he has. That one season of my life. Really, look back. You're here. Yes, he has. No, he hasn't. I look back over my life. There's not one thing I could look back and say, you know what? God was there. God's grace was there. It made me who I am today, and it's a lie. That's a lie that the enemy tries to get you to think that you really don't have a loving father who's always been there for you, you know, because he'll let you down. Because you remember that one time? Remember the one time? Oh, the one time that, yeah, you were emotionally, like, dysfunctional and that you were distraught and that you forgot, like, yeah, where's God? No, God loved you through that. Yeah, loved you through that. Just don't make God open up the history books. Hey, don't. There's stuff that God opened up. There's stuff that there's stuff the enemy tries to bring in that I laugh at. I'm like, we're not gonna go there because I know what that was like. I know what that was like. That was sick, but God still loved me. Even in your sickness, he loved you. So you have a God who loves you even in your sickness. And so he's there because of you. He wants a relationship with you. Those that are sick need a physician. That's why he came. And who still sins? You. But he still loves you. But I want you to check how far you've come and just rejoice in that. Rejoice in that. You need to just have a rejoice party yourself. Just rejoice how far you come. Every once in a while, thank you, Jesus, how far I came and what you took me from. Thank you, Lord, that I walked over that one. Thank you that I beat that one. Thank you I was victory over that one. And just take them Take them with you. Take all the victories with you like a belt. Just hang them from your belt. So everywhere you turn, victory just smacks the devil in the face. Victory. Victory. We sing it. I'm going to see a victory because the battle we lost to the Lord. Yeah, it does. I'm going to see a victory. It doesn't matter what I see. I'm going to see one because of who's inside of me. It doesn't matter what I see. It's that mindset that causes me to get up over my circumstance and my situation and to walk in faith. You have to see past where you're at. That's what faith is. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I don't see it, but I'm going to get it. Now, that has nothing to do with magic. Faith and reality. Yeah, there's a difference. And so you got to be careful that you don't err on the side of reality so much that your faith is not where it needs to be. There's a balance there that you got to work with. Some people are so full of faith, like you can't talk to them about anything. I mean, it's just faith, faith, faith. My dude, let's have just a normal conversation just about something. And it's hard to get past the reality of suffering and mourning and grieving with them because they're so full of faith and everything is Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And I get that. I understand that. But there is an element of having to embrace reality. Not everything has a happy ending. We love movies and the ending where the hero beats the villain, and we're all excited about that, and everyone was upset at Marvel. Remember Marvel when it was, man, is this the end? And then they finally made another end game, and they win. They're like, oh, thank God, because it would, like, blew the whole thing. Because Thanos won, and like, what are we going to do? Then they made another one, and everyone's, oh, thank God. So, because they want the victor always to win at the end. That's not the case all the time. Relationships end bad sometimes. They're not coming back. So I have to embrace the reality of life without them, but it doesn't take the power of faith away. I have to exercise my faith to know that God is still for me. He's not against me, and that he still has a plan for my life, even though I have to walk this out, that he is not going to alleviate me for having to walk this road of suffering, but he's going to be with me and he's not going to take me out of this. I'm going to have to walk with it. There's not been a time in my life where I haven't walked in something. I don't remember a time where God transported me from one place to another. I don't remember it. But I do remember his grace carrying me. His grace has always been sufficient and has helped make me who I am today. And so for you, that means allowing God to work through your emotional state in the process, because it's great and we love Jesus, but the reality of it is that Jesus gets in messes. That's where he gets into. He's not looking for people who have it all together or who make life to have it all together and who are on lockdown on the inside and he can't get in to make room for himself. Because that becomes dysfunctional when you think you have it all together. And when you've never been in trouble, that alarms me. Lord, help me today. Like when you've never cursed, when you've never thought something that was so radical that if somebody saw it, you wouldn't be here right now. It kind of disturbs me when I look at people and I'm like, man, is there any real part? Because Jesus gets into real. And he can heal that. He can get into that. Isn't that why he didn't like the Pharisees? Brood of vipers, man, you guys are sick. Your throat. He went to town on them. Because outside they were religious, but inside it was death. Death. They were doing things for the wrong reason. And that's the way Jesus looks down. And that's why I believe that scripture in Matthew 7 is so powerful when he says, I never even knew you. You don't subscribe to my law. I never knew you. Because he's in the real. I'm not saying you sin to get God's attention. Because if you keep on sinning that grace may abound, that's dumb. But I'm saying there has to be an understanding that God responds to authenticity. I think some people have a definition of faith that is not faith at all. God does not do everything for you. He will work with you. Work with you. Love does. It does. He did. And so now he invites me into that relationship. And now my response is to do. Not just sit, but just to do. I'm going to give you an example of this. This is a very practical example. So you come into church, and this happened to be this weekend, and you realize that our TVs aren't the way they need to be. They're going bad. And I'm like, okay, well, maybe we can do this and not have to do that. And then you begin to realize, wait a minute. It's time for an upgrade. I felt the Lord said, it's time for an upgrade, boy. It's time for you to have what you need to do what I called you to do. So if I would have sat back and said, you know, I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied with the TV that's starting to white out on the right side. And then eventually something will happen. Who knows when? And even though the port over here doesn't work real well, I'm cool with it. We can get through it. And I did nothing. Come in here, TV blows up. Port doesn't work. Every time you jiggle it, the signal goes in and out. But God's good. God's good. He'll take care of it. He's got me, right? Now, I've given you the resources to take care of that problem. And so what I need you to do is be okay with the fact that I'm doing something new, and I want you to have what you need to have to go get it. And so I said to myself, we're going to do this thing. We'll do it right. And so right now we're in process of getting things where it needs to do, but today has been fantastic. So, but why? Love does. You put into practice, it's action. So, yes, Lord, I hear you, but I'm going to sit this one out because you got me, right? You got me because your grace is sufficient and you do everything anyway, according to some people. So, go ahead. Because love does. But the enemy would like nothing more for you to sit, to hear, and not do. Because when you're obedient, blessing happens. And God says, okay, and guess what happens? More fruit is developed. More fruit. Thank you, Lord, for the ability to hear you and to act. Because sometimes what we do is that, especially in Christianity, we always think that, well, it's got to be less than, because being poor in spirit means that, listen, we just got to make the world know that we're very meek and that we're very humble and that the God we serve is very gentle. And what we do is we do a disservice to the God who died for us so that we can live in more, not lack. And I told you last week, I'm done with the lack talk. I'm done with the less talk. I'm done with, well, God might. No, God is going to do it. He's going to do it. And there are certain things that God has spoken that he will do. And if you have the God who's all sufficient and he's all powerful and he sits on the throne and he owns everything, do you think he wants you walking around broke? That he wants you to walk around not having what you need? There are seasons, I understand, that you have to sow and that God's cultivating, but those seasons should be coming to an end. You shouldn't be in those seasons for, I don't care. Jesus, in the name of Jesus, you should not be in those seasons for years of your life. Years of where you're walking around and that you can't get what God has called you to do. You profess faith, but there's nothing there. Where's the fruit? I'm serving God, but where's the fruit? There's nothing wrong with him. Nothing wrong with him. Where's the fruit? It's something going on inside of me that has not changed, that I'm not getting. Where is the fruit? 40 years should have been a lot sooner for the children, a lot sooner. 40 years. But people walk around, and that's why you have to have a relationship with God yourself, and that you have to hear from God yourself. So when God says upgrade, God says it's time to go on and possess what I've given you, go up, pull up your pants, and start possessing what I've given you. You are going to be an example. I don't need another generation of people walking around dying in the wilderness and missing out what I have. It's a travesty. I died to give it to you. I died. Why do we have to miss out just because your head's not right? Or you think poor in spirit means poor, and maybe God will give it to me, and if I get up to the bread line and there's no more bread, I'll come back tomorrow. God said no. I've never seen the righteous begging for bread. He said, I'm more than enough. It might mean you might have to adjust. Yeah, I might adjust. Get a job. Do something different. Use the resources. But when God does that and he brings you into alignment with his purpose, do it. And if the season has changed, embrace the season. Yes, Lord, this year is greater. It will be in every area of my life. I will walk in that. Why? Because you said. Because guess what? On the inside, the price has been paid already. I've earned this one. Well, you're not supposed to earn everything, really? I'm not talking about salvation. We didn't earn it. But elevation, earn that one. And the enemy will try to mess with you. Nah, earn that one. Because if God says you can have it, you can have it. Practical stuff. I want you to try it this week. Don't do what you know you need to do, and let's see what happens. It'll work out because God's going to take care of me. Okay. All right. Second thing, love confronts. Confronts. Psalm 27. Come with me. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. You a good friend? Well, I think I am. No, are you a good friend? Good friend confronts. It doesn't let someone sit in their situation without saying something. I'm not saying berate them because you have some power trip. I'm saying confronts when the situation presents itself. Hey, listen, I see you in this situation. You don't really need to be there. God has more for you. I'm going to confront that right out of you right now. He's got more for you. Why are you doing this? Well, no, change it. Change that perspective. And God will send you to people just for that purpose. Love confronts. It doesn't just allow. Well, we got to be long-suffering. I understand long-suffering, but there comes a point where you got to start calling something out so it can be addressed. Because then when it becomes a problem and it's putting you into bondage, we now have an issue. But God's got it, so he's going to take care of it. I'm just waiting on God. So, you know, your daughter's struggling with this. Are you going to say anything or love on her? No, but the Lord's got it. So the relationship that your friend's in that you know is tearing them apart, you're just going to sit there, not say anything? Well, Lord, I don't want to offend anybody, you know. And your fear of man brings you into a snare. And now you can't confront what needs to be confronted because you're afraid of the reaction. And guess who God holds responsible? You. Well, Lord, that's not fair. If God places you in the situation and says, I've called you here for this time, and you say nothing, It's on you. If you don't think that's the key, I want you to go through back in the Old Testament and read the prophets. And read what God told them. You do what I tell you to do, you're safe from responsibility. You hold back, it's on your head. Well, that's being responsible, yeah. But God's going to do it, so. But who does he use? You. You're a mouthpiece. Open your mouth. When I give you the words to say, say it. That's how you're supposed to walk. Not in intimidation, but walk in power, love, and self-discipline. God says if they don't turn, not on you. You did what I called you to do, but say it. Say it. And God will do that for you and put you in the situations and will test your response. And you know what that looks like because inside you will start to back up like this. Try to get yourself out of the way and the Holy Spirit will push you in like this and say, you better lean in and say something. Well, I just can't, you better say it. Can you imagine if I got up here every week and just said, well, God's going to do it. He's going to do it, man. He's going to do it. Amen. Well, you guys have a great day, and I will see you next week. God's going to do it. He's going to do it. You're the mouthpiece. You have the power of the Holy Spirit resting inside of you. You're going out into all the world. You're supposed to go out and make disciples and baptize them. You're going out. Lord said, I'm sending you out. You're going out. All right, so that means I got to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. I got to, me and God got to be right. So when I go out, I got to have my mind right. And so I'm walking in the power that God's called me to walk in. I can't be afraid of what the response is going to be. I can't. Because then, like I said, it brings me into bondage and then it causes issues into my life. If you don't think so, this week I would love for you to try an experiment. I would love for you to try to give into fear this week. And see what it does. If you don't think the world right now is suffering from a fear factor, we're missing out. I want you to try just one time. Just try to tap into that and see what that does for you. It is not welcoming. It is not warm. It ravages you. Because God's heart is not fear, but that's the enemy's heart. And so if you don't walk in faith, you open the door for fear. And you know what that looks like because there are still things in your life right now that are pecking at you. I want you to try not confronting this week. See what that does. I'm not going to confront what I have to do. I'm not going to confront the enemy this week. And what I'm not going to confront. I'm just not going to do it and see what happens. You won't make it. I won't see you next Sunday. You want to slip into self-loathing and deprivation? Just stop trying this week. You know how quick you can get there? How quick? How quick that the enemy can get in and speak something in because of something you're going through, and all of a sudden now you were doing well and you were rising up in faith, but now you're back down in that position again and so you can't do it, and your emotions are all erratic. You don't think emotions have a big role to play right now in what's going on in the world? Emotions, because they're not healed, the people are sick, they're trying to fix that. Love confronts, Christian, love confronts, and what that means, God's going to confront you. I'm going to confront you, and I'm going to say, what's up with you? What's up with you? And God is so good, he wants you better. Sharon, if God died for me, and he said, I haven't given you a spirit of fear, but a power of love and self-control, what does it do for us when we walk in lack of power? We don't confront anything, and we don't have any self-discipline. Do you know how erratic your life would be? And if you're telling me that God, he died for me so I could live that way, we're missing out. That's why the enemy will attack your confidence. He will come against you and what you know. because he knows that as you continue to grow in your confidence, there'll be no stopping you because you'll understand whose you are and what God has done. And that's the type of kids he's looking for, not the kids who are tapping out. This is uncomfortable, tapping out. No, good. It's good for you. Man, I tell you, you gotta jump into stuff and just be okay with whatever the outcome is. I just begin to rehearse this week what God has done in your life. Just thank God for all of it. Thank God for all of it. And I think you will get through stuff quicker. Instead of complaining what you don't like, just begin to thank God for all of it. I look back over, just begin to thank him for all. Thank you, Jesus, for all of it. Thank you for the suffering. Thank you for making me who I am. God, thank you for making me a fighter. Lord, thank you for helping me stand up. Thank you for the trouble. Thank you for the circumstances and the situations that don't make sense. Thank you for all that that's happening because it's working something in me right now that I can't see. Thank you, God, for all that. And you'll begin to see your life and your attitude will begin to change. And then you'll begin to see that, God, you've been in work the whole time in my life. Thank you for all the work that you're doing in my life. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are all my parts. Thank you for all that. Thank you, God, for what you've done. Lord, I come into agreement the way you see me. Lord, I'm worth, I got value. I'm satisfied because of what you've done. Thank you, God, for all that. And guess what? God will begin to trust you with more because you won't be scared and he won't be upset if it doesn't go your way. But you'll know that greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. You can face anything. It doesn't matter. You can run. You can jump. You can leap. All that stuff. But until you get to the point where you thank God and realize that your life is not your own, you'll stay the same. And you only will like parts of your relationship with God, not all of it. All of it. I like parts, not all of it. Not all of it. I don't like the part where I have to stand up and fight and tell my husband he's being an idiot. I don't like that one. I don't like that fight. I don't like the fact that I have to be uncomfortable for you, Lord. That's really not what I signed up for. They told me when I got saved in that room to read John. And I read the book of John and I saw that was a great book on love, man. For God so loved the world. Thank you for loving me. They didn't tell me that I have to fight. They didn't tell me I have to put the armor of God. They didn't tell me that I'd have to kick down some doors. They didn't tell me that I have to stand and fight. They didn't tell me I'd have to let go of some things. They didn't tell me that I'd have to crawl sometimes. They didn't tell me that I have to cry sometimes. They didn't tell me it'd be a struggle. Sorry, I'm telling you now. Love confronts. Thank you, Lord. And when you get to the place you can do that, then God says, I'll give you the influence that you want. Thank you, Lord. I'm just telling him the truth. You told me to tell him the truth. Good. Now it's on them. Yes, it is. Thank you, Lord. That's the honesty that I want to hear from you, Richie. Yes, it is, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Be honest. Don't hold back. I have to because this is PG-13 today. Yeah. You're too saved, man, sometimes. Do you know God knows your thought before you think it? God knows what you're wrestling with while you're wrestling it. He is acquainted with your grief. He understands it. Why hold back? When he knows. No one's talking about not using wisdom, but why hold back in your relationship with him when he already knows it? And it will flush you out of closets that you have locked yourself in because you are concerned about God's response. But while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You know what God's response is? I just want your heart. I already know what you're feeling and what you're seeing. I already know it. Let's just talk about it. All right, I won't say it. Sometimes when you say things, it'll ruin some people's theology, and it may not be a good thing today. So, number three. Love remains. It remains. Let's go to Psalm 34. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Many are there. Many. The Bible talks about 1 Corinthians 13. Faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. it remains. Hebrews chapter 13, he says, never will I leave you or forsake you. Never. It remains. It remains when you're in process. Aren't you glad that you know someone who is with you in the seasons while you're in process and who doesn't disown you because you're outbursts of your flesh? You want to talk about real love, you need to talk about a relationship with the Lord who does not abdicate a relationship with you because you're crazy. Right? And I know people have said that before. Yeah, I am. Because we put on a front and think that, well, everything is okay and God has always loved me and I have felt the love of the Lord my whole life. You know, you haven't. You have not. There have been times where you felt like God has left and he has not been there. But it's not until you got through that season that you felt his presence again and that you realized he remains even when I don't remain. He is faithful when I am faithless. He is tried and true. I'm not. He's the one who helps me move through, and he will allow you to see that so that you can understand. If he loved me through that, there's nothing that he won't love me through. And so it allows me to trust him because I know he's working it out for my good, and he's not here to condemn me. He's here to push me to be better than what I need to be. How could you survive in a relationship like that? If the one who already knew you already knows everything about you, and if you're not careful, can paralyze you with fear because I can't make a mistake. God already says, I already know it. The enemy would love for you to just stay back there because God already knows who you are, and he looks at us and says, well, if you do that, God's not going to love you. That's a lie. I've already seen God do what he's got to do. I'm going to move forward and do what God's called me to do and be myself. That's a lie, and you got to be careful. On one side, you've got fear. The other side, you got faith. Which side do you want? I'd rather be moving in faith, making mistakes, than paralyzed in fear and dying. Well, yeah. Well, how do you know if God's for you? He's already said he's for me. Why would I be concerned about making a mistake? It's different when I know better. If I know better, I'm going to do better. But God still doesn't put me in a corner and say, okay, son, don't move until you get it perfect. If God has released you into a different place in your life, enjoy that freedom and release. Enjoy it. If God is blessing you, enjoy it. Without fear, he's going to take it away. This is where his voice has to be stronger than the enemy's and even your voice. Because you know who's even more powerful than the enemy? The way you look at yourself and what you tell yourself. The enemy's already been defeated. That's not going to change. Not going to change. But what you tell yourself can change. If I already know that I'm loved and valued, I have to come into alignment with that truth, regardless of whether or not I'm not aligning to that with my actions. So it's a process, and there are seasons that you're going to have to walk through. I'm not going back to the former season. You're not going back there. There's nothing there. I'm in this season. I'm rejoicing in the blessings of this season as God is moving me on from faith to faith and glory to glory. But I can still enjoy my freedom here. Just because I don't have what I think I need to have, or I'm not totally in where God wants me to be, his grace is sufficient, and I can still enjoy my freedom right now. I'm not in heaven yet, but I'm still enjoying my freedom right here. The season will come where I will walk in more fullness, and it's happening, but on the way there, I'm not going to sit in fear and say, well, God's going to just get me there. And when he's ready, I'll move. And this is what happens with people. They're waiting on God. And God says, well, I'm waiting on you. If you would get out and just do something, I'll meet you. This also enter for you. Ben, come on up here. We got all this stuff that we want to do, and we're feeling like, well, God's not for me. God's for you, but God's going to direct your steps. You hear me? God's for you, but he's going to direct your steps. So if he directs you into the wilderness, are you okay with that? Well, not really. Well, you're going to have a hard time. Do you have enough faith right now to believe that where you are at, God has placed you there? I'm not talking about your church. I'm talking about your life. Do you have enough faith in your life to believe that God has placed you there, regardless of what you see? If you can see that and recognize that, then you can begin to walk in the freedom that God has placed and allowed you to have in that season. But if you buck him, every time, it's going to be harder for you to get out and to do what God has called you to do in the next season. It's real simple. Because you're not supposed to be looking at it with your eyes. Well, my eyes say this. Well, what's your faith say? Take off those eyes and put the new ones in. The faith eyes. Ah, now I can see. Here it is. He's working it out for me right here in the middle of it. Why? Because many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered him out of them all. Well, God will send me and I'm going to be afflicted? Yes. There will be, it may not be physical, but there will be emotional, some spiritual stuff you got to deal with, and financial. There will be some afflictions. But God said, I will deliver you out of them all. But that means you have to be okay with that affliction. If you're not okay with it, you can't identify with me. You can't do it. So you have a lot of people right now who are out here. You got fringe people. You got people looking and they're trying to find their own way. And what God's doing, he's narrowing the road. Because narrow is the way that leads to eternal life. So he's trying to get people on that road. And people are trying to buck that road because it's uncertain. It involves discomfort. It's definitely there's affliction. And so people are having a hard time. I can't go that road. And God says, if you can't go that road, the only other option is out here. Wouldn't you rather be on this road if it leads to home than outside that leads to destruction? Well, that's a good point. Yeah, but you have to wrestle with that point. Because this road's going to involve responsibility. This road's going to involve dying to self. This road is going to involve some things that that road doesn't have. Are you okay with that? Well, few find it. I've been around long enough to know that this road is the best road. That road doesn't hold weight anymore. This is the best road. Why? Because in this road, there's power. This road, there's love. This road, eternal life. I want you to think for a moment as we get ready to close. You do all this, you go through all your seasons, you're struggling, and you make it, and you're like, okay, finally. And then you get tripped up later on in your life, and you decide, I can't go any further. It's just too much has happened to me. And the finish line was right there, and you fell short. Are you willing to trade temporary discomfort for what God has for you for eternity? Temporary temporary. Come on, you got it. I got the grace. My grace is sufficient. It's temporary. My grace is sufficient. You got it. The finish line's right there. You know, you got to look at Jesus that way. He's like, come on, let's go. You're almost there. As opposed to, well, I did, it's just too much. You know how many people Jesus has probably seen do that? But they can't do it anymore. But you were there. Because they started looking with the wrong eyes. Eyes of faith. If it's narrowing, that means it's good for me. Because I'm on the right road. If he's helping me to focus, that means it's a good thing because I'm on the right road. If things are leaving that don't need to be there, it's a good thing. That means because I'm on the right road. Why? Because eternal life is springing up inside of me. Fruit is being cultivated, and I'm seeing the end game. And the end game is glory. I see it. We're here today because Abram left his country to a place that God said, I'm going to show you. We're here today and we sing songs about him because of what he did. Where are people going to be? Where will they be because your obedience? You got to make that. It's not just about you anymore. Not just about you. So what are you going to do? How are you going to affect change long after you're gone? Because your life matters and it's bigger than is this. And so what are you going to do? What are people going to say about you? They tapped at the last minute? No. They finished. They finished. Isn't that why you have those great cloud of witnesses that Hebrews talks about? They're yelling, run the race, baby. Run it with perseverance. Because I'm telling you what, it's better over here. Better over here. Lord, for every person in this room, in the race, they're running. The road is being, it's narrowed. It's narrowed. Lord, because you're getting them ready for glory. You're getting ready. I thank you, Lord, for each one that is precious, has a plan, has a purpose. Lord, you designed them that way. You designed them. I thank you for the walk that you've called them to walk on, the road you called them to walk on, Lord. Even the hardships and the difficulties, everyone, Lord, has a story. But I know today that there are some who are in particular situations that are difficult. I thank you that your grace is sufficient and that they have faith enough to know that they're there because you placed them there. God, help them to learn the lessons. Help them to walk by faith and not by sight, because we know that's what you called us to do. I thank you, God, for a new level of greater in this house this year. For every person, Lord, we come in contact with. I thank you for chains being broken in our lives. And as we come in contact with other people, chains will be broken in their lives. Break every chain, every fetter, every shackle, Lord, that the enemy has tried to tie people down with. I thank you for a release of your spirit in Jesus' name, that you will, by the anointing, break yokes of bondage over people in this community, this year, in this nation, that we will see a great outpouring of your spirit like we have not seen before, because we know that greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen.